This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sevisudhi. Mama at Work is a new initiative set up by two stay-at-home mums, Anna Karina and Nadia Noor. Their aim is to provide information and support to mothers who are struggling to work full-time and spend quality time with their children. Welcome to the show, both of you ladies. I think this initiative is excellent, honestly. Welcome.
Hi.
Hey, Mira.
You know, suddenly I feel there's someone missing here, and it's Johan Marikan of Talent Corp.
Yes.
Talent Corp has something called Talent Juanita, You know, and it is a lot of what you're doing as well. I mean, what drove that idea to set up an online portal for mothers at work?
We both actually stopped working to raise our children. Mm-hmm. And then, but we were still frequently sort of meeting to catch up with former colleagues. And then we got together to brainstorm on what can we do to actually support, you know, support working mothers. Because while we were meeting our former colleagues, they were also telling us the same stories that we felt, that we experienced while we were working. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to do something meaningful for our friends, even, you know, as stay-at-home moms.
Anna, what were some of your challenges?
Well, actually, I quit my job when I was still at maternity leave. I just given birth to my daughter, and then I realized, you know what, this is so much fun. Yep. And I didn't really want to go back to the corporate world doing the 9-to-5, which isn't really a 9-to-5. It's more like a 7-to-7 kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I guess I just felt now is the time to spend with my kid, and looking at the state of the world today, what kids are lacking, you know, parental attention is one of the top things. And I just felt like this was an opportunity for me to be at home with my child.
Okay, and you were okay with it? Were you happy staying at home?
Yes, I mean, it was a decision reached with my husband. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of input. He was initially very very scared, because I guess we were so used to having a two-income household. Yep. But I mean, we did the math and we managed. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's some sacrifices, you know.
Of course.
But He has the comfort of knowing that our daughter is with me all day. So he goes to work and he doesn't stress himself out about, you know, if she's being taken care of by a non-family member or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What about yourself, Nadia? I mean, you have the liberty. I mean, we have domestic help in this country.
Yes.
Many people in the Western world would say we're privileged to be able to afford domestic help.
I think the reality is it's not, you know, all that pretty, you know. When I first gave birth to my children, we actually got a maid. It didn't work out. She had to go home for health reasons. So then it was 2 weeks before I was supposed to go back to work. We started scrambling, where do we put our children? You know, my parents were staying abroad. My in-laws were on the other side of town. So I started Googling and, you know, and finding a replacement for a maid wasn't going to be easy. It would take months, and who knows what, you know, what type of maid that you would actually get. And even then, people nowadays, they don't leave their maids at home your kid alone. You know, they either have CCTVs or they send them to be monitored by their mother-in-laws or their mothers, because, you know, as you have probably heard, you know, there was a video that went viral a few weeks ago about how a maid tosses and turns a baby who, you know, I mean, she was only there for, it was a second day or something. And, you know, and these things scare people, whether they should actually trust your baby to be at home with a stranger. So in my case, after, you know, I got lucky that we found a good daycare for my child. But even that was a struggle, because the perfect daycare doesn't solve all of your problems. You know, when there were days that when both my husband and I had to work late, and then we fight about who gets to disappoint the boss.
And that brings about unnecessary friction as well.
Yes.
Between husband and wife.
And it's, you know, it's the daycare doesn't charge overtime fees. So it makes us feel bad too, because they have families to look after as well. And they already took in my child from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and we're not even there yet, you know. So, I mean, that's, I think, not only my struggle, but the struggles of our circle of friends as well, you know. One, if you find a good daycare or a good maid, it still doesn't relieve you of your responsibilities to parent.
What was the straw that broke the camel's back for you, Nadia?
Well, for me, I had moved to a new neighborhood, so I couldn't send my son, and I gave birth to my second child. I couldn't send my son to the same daycare that I sent my daughter to. So actually on the first day I came back to work, I sent in my resignation letter. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, because I already had planned to take a small break from work, unfortunately on the sixth day after I returned from work, I got a call from my babysitter saying that my son wasn't breathing. Mm-hmm. So I frantically drove to her house, and to cut the long story short, he passed away that day while he was 69 days old.
Okay. Was it sudden infant death syndrome?
Yes, well, we didn't do a postmortem because he was so small, and yeah. we didn't want to do that to our baby, but we just, what the babysitter told us was that she put him to sleep, and then checked on him about an hour later and already found him blue. Mm-hmm. So she called the ambulance and called me. But we don't know what the real cause is.
Sure.
But, you know, as a Muslim, I accept that as, you know, God's will, and, you know, there's a reason for that. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think as a lot of religions believe, they're waiting for us in heaven.
Yeah.
So I take comfort in that.
Yeah. So you made the decision to leave work?
Yeah, so it was initially intended as a short break, but then, you know, I actually really enjoyed staying at home with my daughter. She's 5 years old now. And then sort of part-time and freelance opportunities came in, and we thought, you know, this works much better. I can, you know, I can work from home while she's at kindergarten, and I can also make sure that she comes back to like a nurturing home, a nurturing environment, and she gets a nutritious meal and time.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Sure. And so how did the whole idea of Mama at Work come about?
Well, actually, it was after Nadia had lost her son, and I had given birth to my daughter. We, like she mentioned, we were still meeting up and catching up. And then I think at one point we just threw out the idea to each other because we were the two moms in the circle that had quit. Mm-hmm. So we just said, hey, why don't we do something? What do you want to do? And it was sort of this brainstorming thing back and forth. And then I think Nadia actually suggested, let's do something online, you know, because it's easy and we both can work from home, but let's provide a service. So that's how this whole Mama at Work thing came about. We discussed, okay, what was lacking when we were pregnant? What was not around when we gave birth? Mm-hmm. What kind of support systems were missing? What kind of tools were missing? And then we slowly came and built upon this idea of this. Basically, it's an online portal.
Okay. So what sort of information do you host on the website?
Okay. It's a sort of like a three-in-one thing. It's a service portal. It's mm-hmm. It's also we have a tool which will be listing down registered childcare centers and other resources for moms, where we would get people to actually review them. Because one thing we found difficult is when looking for childcare for our kids, you have to Google yourself by area. And then maybe if you see one kindergarten, you think, oh, that looks potential, mm-hmm. potentially somewhere I would send my daughter. You have to read on individual blogs this person's experience and then another person's experience. And then it takes too much time. So we thought, why don't we centralize all of this? So that's the tool aspect. And then the other thing is an advocacy platform. Mm-hmm. Because basically what we want to advocate is what's missing in the Malaysian working environment, which is more flexible working hours or more flexible working options for working mothers, and also you know, better daycare options. Mm-hmm. So it's all three lah.
But doesn't it upset you that, you know, there's so many productive women who can go out and contribute to the economy, and, you know, like the both of you, but, you know, because of circumstances, you can't.
So that's why we're trying. What we're trying to advocate. Right now, it's either you know you work like a crazy person,
or you quit,
or you quit. Mm-hmm. So we also got to do a lot of reading while trying to do our research on what we wanted to offer. And you know, there's actually a middle way. And we were mainly inspired by a couple of books that says, you know, it's time to change the workplace. It's time for mothers to, I mean, there are a lot of, like you said, educated mothers who want to contribute, but now it's either, you know, do all or quit. There's mm-hmm. no middle ground.
Yep.
And just to build on what Nadia was saying, earlier on you mentioned Talent Wanita, right?
Yes.
So actually, Talent Corp and ACCA recently came out with a report, Retaining Women in the Workforce. And this report actually validates our view, because the report says that 93% of women who choose to take a career break, for whatever reason, the number one reason I think is to raise a family, 93% want to come back.
Yeah.
But I think over 60% find it really hard. And so because of that, we feel that this is very timely.
Of course,
like
it is.
Said, there's a lot of women who want to give back.
It is.
But they cannot find the...
And the government has set a target to raise the woman workforce from the current 46% to 55%. And it has been stagnant at 46% for the past 10 years.
And they're going to increase this in the next 3 years.
In 3 years, by 2015. Mm.
So that is indeed a challenge. I mean, what do you think the government needs to put in place to ensure, enable these women like yourselves to go back to work?
We have some of our thoughts based on our personal struggles, our friend struggles, and some research that we did ourselves. We have quite a few, and among them is longer maternity leave,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because there's actually research out there saying that the 12 to 14 week maternity leave is actually a turning point for mothers to actually choose. That's the point where they choose to go back to work if they can stay at home long enough, you know. And this research was published on the World Bank website. If, you know, they're given about 12 weeks, they will actually choose to return to work,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, current legislation that we have is 60 days.
Some places 90. It's not across the board,
correct.
I think.
And even the International Labour Organization recommends about 12 to 14 weeks.
Mm. So Malaysia is actually at the lower end of that.
Yep.
And then secondly, legislate
12 to 14 months or 12 to 14
weeks?
Weeks, okay. Yeah.
So that's about 3+ months, 3 months. So, secondly, is paternity leave, because
mm-hmm.
it's not about the mother recovering from the birth process and the pregnancy. It's also about bonding with a child, and you know, it's the child comes into a family of, you know, the mom and the dad, and not just the woman.
So why shouldn't a father be allowed to bond with his child as well? I mean, currently there are no regulations on paternity leave. I think it's at the company's discretion. So the companies I've worked in have been between 1 and 3 days. I mean, can a father really bond with his newborn between 1 and 3 days? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're trying to take it one step at a time, and we're trying to get it up maybe legislate it to 1 week.
Okay.
At least start somewhere. You know, we're not asking to be like Sweden, which is the family friendliest country on earth.
Scandinavian countries in general.
Yes. You know, so
I mean, there are a lot more, but the other two that we feel very strongly about is right now the government offers incentives to employers to set up childcare centers. They offer tax incentives,
mm-hmm.
but the thing is, if you work on the business model of a childcare center, you can hardly make any money unless you charge about 1,002 ringgit per child.
Mm-hmm.
So one is, you know, the challenge is willingness to pay for parents is about 300 to 400.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge gap.
Yes.
And if you want to charge 1,002, that means you're getting the right staff.
Trained staff.
Experience and the right facilities. You know, mm-hmm. you follow the guidelines set by Jabatan Kebajikan Masyarakat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but unless you operate in, you know, either Bangsa or Mutiara Damansara or Tamantun, there's no way you can make money from, you know, from setting up a service, a childcare center. And so that's why a lot of these centers actually cut corners.
Mm. And that's also why a lot of them are unregistered,
mm-hmm.
because this incentive that Nadia was mentioning are not offered to private operators.
Right.
It's offered to
companies. Just the employers.
Mm. So if you perhaps, you know, I mean, what we're thinking, this is just me and Nadia thinking, if you offered it to service providers, right, to private companies, there's a lot more reason for them to become registered, because there's a lot more incentives coming in. I mean, you have incentives are there for a reason,
yep.
right? So, yep. I mean, why not? You can't, and we don't expect the government to solve every problem. So,
yep.
if there are already trained and experienced centers, why not, you know, use them?
Yep.
Yeah. Utilize them.
And so they were actually, I mean, last year, what happened to me wasn't an isolated case. They were, in the first half of 2012, there were 14 infant deaths.
Reported.
Either in registered or unregistered childcare. And that's the most devastating thing that can happen to a parent who is at work. You know, you leave your baby, your tiny baby, 68-year-old baby, you know, in the hands of, you know, people who you paid, but then receive, you know, news that, you know, they passed away for whatever reasons.
Yep. That is, you know, heartbreaking, honestly. Anything else? Longer maternity leave, childcare centres? What about creches? Having a crash in the organization or in the company. Do you think that works?
Yeah, I think definitely it would work, you know, but there's so little take up. I can't remember where I read it recently, but apparently there used to be about 300 crashes in Malaysia and now there's like fewer than 60. Mm-hmm. So the whole practice is not really recognized anymore. People maybe for whatever reason, convenience.
It's cost to the company.
Some
of them think about the liability issues. Mm. So that's why a lot of them are still resistant to take up. So yeah, the government has actually offered incentives for employers to set up crashes at work. But the take up rate is very low.
Very low.
I think only 7%, right?
Yeah. So the other thing that we thought about was actually gazette land and buildings in neighborhood. Because currently the government gazette school buildings or mosques or, you know, religious
in any new development, right?
Correct.
There's always
so they must be those centers, but and there's a fully subsidized cost for, you know, school going children, but, you know, in the first 5 years of their lives, where do they go?
Exactly.
You know, I think, you know, this is something that the government has to seriously look into.
Coming up, we'll find out more about the challenges of Anna and Nadia in setting up Mama at Work on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasodi. Two dynamic women with me, Anna Arifin and Nadia Noor, both founders of Mama at Work. It's an online portal to help women go back to work. Now, how did you go about setting up Mama at Work? I mean, are you both into IT? I mean, did you even know or did you have to get help from someone else, you know?
Definitely. We first initially just sat down and brainstormed on what we wanted to do. I actually have a degree in IT.
Okay, brilliant.
But haven't been practicing it since I graduated. But after doing our research, we had a very specific idea of what we wanted to offer on the site, and so looked out for vendors who can actually help us with building the site the way we wanted it to.
Mm-hmm. What sort of support did you have at the beginning?
Well, we had support from our spouses and our immediate family. They would throw us curveballs, you know, and say, okay, are you sure this is going to work? Are you going to be able to sustain yourself? Are you in it for the long run? That kind of stuff, because we don't want it to just be a one-off, hey, I had this great idea and then it just died. You know, it's we're in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
And this is a cause that we really believe in.
Sure.
And we've experienced it. So, I mean, the support that we received from our family was just tremendous.
Is the portal up and running yet?
It's about 80 to 90% complete. We're just working out some kinks on the programming side. But I think it should be... Well, we anticipate it to be up and running by the end of April.
Okay, yeah. Brilliant. And do you think, or based on people you've spoken to or ladies you've spoken to who are at work, are they excited about what you're doing?
Well, definitely. Of course, the first thing we did was bounce the idea with our circle of friends because they're the, you know, the professional, educated working mothers, and which is our target group. And they said, you know, one friend said, well, just in the recent week, I looked at 5 daycare centers and I can't wait to actually put it on your website, you know, so I can help other parents out there. And I would actually have loved to have this before I actually went to visit those 5 daycare centers.
Yes. Which is great, honestly.
I mean, I can't think when one thought of it sooner because our tool is also, it's like a, we want it to be user-friendly. So it's sort of like a TripAdvisor concept where, you know, you type in an area and then these results come out and then you can see maybe the top of your list of priorities for your kid is individual attention. So if a specific site doesn't really rate high on that aspect but high on others, you might say, okay, no, I'm not going to look at this. So you can filter out already. It's a faster process than one by one, you know, and we had trouble with that.
Of course. I mean, where were the both of you when I had my babies? Really. What has been your biggest challenge to date?
Well, one of the biggest challenges is actually the portal itself. Mm-hmm. Trying to get it to look and function how we see it to be. I mean, we have a very specific idea. So I guess getting the programmer and developer to translate our vision into reality, it's taking longer than we actually thought it would.
Okay. Yeah. What about in terms of funds? I mean, where are you getting the money from? I mean, you cannot be depending on family, you know, all the while.
Yeah, well, we've been actually... our initial intention was to, you know, take out our savings.
Self-fund.
But you can't do that for long.
Oh. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So what we did about 2 weeks ago, we launched a fundraising campaign on Indiegogo.com, okay. which is a crowdfunding platform. If you go to the site, you can see all sort of projects being funded by the crowd.
Yeah.
And it's been... quite successful, I must say, and we launched it about, as I said, about 2 weeks ago, and we've reached about 93% of our funding goal. Just after 2 days, the response has been really overwhelming, and we've been getting a lot of messages and emails saying that, you know, one doctor said, you know, there wasn't a day in the past 12 years of my working life I wish for better daycare for my child, and, you know, I really support your cause, and if there's anything that I can do to help, you know, please let me know. And this is just one example of the many emails that we receive. And so I mean, the fundraising campaign doesn't just give, you know, help us with the funds, but it also help us gauge the level of response that we get from the public.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're quite happy in where we are at the moment. We have about 28 days remaining on the campaign.
Mm-hmm. And only 7% to go. So
right, brilliant. How much have you raised so far?
About $5,100 USD.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. Our goal is 5,005.
Okay, mm-hmm. Not very far. From it. So you're hoping to give mothers support, but are you also going to sort of nudge them in the right direction to go back to work?
Well, yes, and we want to do we want to also address the women who are currently at work to actually speak up and ask for more flexibilities and options from their employers. Get together, you know, write to your HR director. You may not get the immediate result, but who knows, 5 years down the road, somebody else would benefit, say. Because when we looked at UK, for example, once women come back to work, actually about 80 to 90% of them work on reduced hours basis.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily is classified as part-time, but they get more time to be with their families.
Okay.
So it's not just addressing women who are at home to come back to work, but also women who are at work so that they don't have to choose between staying at home full-time or working full-time. They can actually do this, but it requires, you know, women to actually speak up and say that we want this.
Mm-hmm.
As a group.
And we also, we support any choice a woman makes. I mean, we have friends who want to work the corporate life, who like to climb the ladder, and, you know, power to them. We actually don't have a problem with any choice a mom makes. It's just that we have a problem that there is no choice mm-hmm. currently. The choice is either A or B, but there is no in-between. And as we all know, one size doesn't fit all
yep.
for every family.
Sure. And, you know, just based on this discussion, I mean, it's just screaming out to me, you know, how much sits on our shoulders as women.
I mean,
there's no talk about the father. Where is he? You know, we have supportive husbands, but would your portal cater for the work, you know, stay-at-home dad, for an example? I mean, they're very few and far between, but I do know of some fathers who've decided to take on that role. I mean, is it targeted at the man as well?
Well, they can definitely use our tool to look for, I don't know, temporary daycares, and we also will be listing child development centers, so the type that you go in once a week to have to send your child to play groups and so forth. So those resources are definitely available for them.
How do you think the men can play a larger role in, you know, reducing the burden on the women?
Well, I think the whole problem stems from the fact that there's no paternity leave, first of all. So I mean, when you ask where are the fathers, they're working because they're not on leaves, you know. So I think the problem, we need to find a holistic solution for everybody. And my husband is a very hands-on father, but the truth of the matter is he has to work late. That's just how it is. I mean, we are working we're living mostly on his income. Mm-hmm. I currently do some freelance work, but it's obviously not a steady, stable thing. And of course, I understand from his point that I have to work late because, you know, this project is due and all. And those are sacrifices that he makes. But he is very much present in our daughter's life.
Sure.
And I think a lot of fathers out there, they are too. Maybe they also wish they had more flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Are you working
as per, you know, the Swedish family policy as well? Because right now they get about, I think, 2 years of shared leave between the mothers and the fathers.
Okay.
So, and they see, as a nation, they see that more mothers go back to work because there's more shared responsibility between the parents.
That's right. At least the fathers are thrown in the deep end for 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, you just, you know, get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
Do the things that we do. And then you feel it, don't you?
Yeah.
Are you working with other organizations? I mean, we spoke about Talent Corporation earlier, but are you collaborating with other organizations?
Well, we had a session talking with Talent Corporation on how we can possibly complement each other. Mm-hmm. But there are early days, and also because our site is not up yet, we said we needed to need some time to be able to gauge how much workload that we have once the site is up. There are also last year there is a forum, Malaysian Working Mothers Forum, launched last year, but we haven't been able to get in touch with them yet. Because, well, right now we're trying to very much focus on getting the portal up, and also trying to reach out to our target group as much as possible at this point.
Who will be responding online? Is it just the both of you?
Well, currently it's just the two of us.
Mm-hmm. Do you see that a long-term solution for the site?
Well, I guess depending on how well the site is received and the amount of inquiries and stuff that we get, we might have to think bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, yeah, it's just me and Nadia full-time.
Okay. And where are you planning to take this portal towards? I mean, going forward, to grow it? I mean, say the numbers come in, to reach out to beyond the scope that you're currently working with. What are your aspirations?
Well, definitely first, we want to make sure that our site, you know, reaches our target market and make sure that, you know, Malaysian working mothers know of our presence. But once we get enough traffic, secondly, we want to sustain ourselves so that, you know, we're not here just for a year or 6 months or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, we wanted to do something meaningful, and we hope to inspire and support the many working mothers out there and make a difference. So maybe even sort of roadshows to companies or employees, because at the end of course, you know, we're talking about this advocacy thing, but we realize that it actually takes time.
Mm.
And so we wanted to do something with the portal and offer a tool now that they can use and not wait for, you know, another 5 years for something to actually happen.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, eventually, we do hope that our work makes some difference.
I'm sure it will.
We really hope that companies will sit up, take notice of the fact that they need to become more family friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, come on, look at the way that the world is now. I mean, even when you read stories about, you know, all these crimes happening, and you think about your kid and how you want your kid to be safe. So there is nothing better than for at least a parent to be present in the child's life, and we need to start offering that option to moms and dads.
Yeah. So what is the website? How do we get on?
Well, right now, if you go on to mamaatwork.my,
mm-hmm.
you'll just see, you know, mamaatwork.my under construction.
Okay. But by the end of April?
By the end of April, hopefully it will be up and running for all of the working mothers and fathers
to use. Yeah.
To use.
So that's mamaatwork.my.
Yes.
Fantastic. Your final message, ladies, as to why we should all come and be a part of Mama at Work. I mean, just take me for an example. I mean, I don't quite need that support now,
mm-hmm.
but how can I contribute to a site like this?
Well, I think keep the conversation going about all these issues that were highlighted in the report that Talent Corp put out. You mm-hmm. know, all those aren't issues that are going to go away in a month, a year, even 2 years. The stuff that they want to do, like increasing the number of women participating in the boardroom, those are important issues. And I think our site can, you can contribute by having that conversation running and by letting women know, you know, if you want to make a change, you need to speak up for yourself. You need to ask for these things. and not just say, okay, if I'm not getting it, then never mind lah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll make do.
Don't make do. It comes to your kids, you have to act.
Yes. Same message. I mean, we were working in the name of, you know, national development, and I think the irony was like, you know, we're working towards national development, but who's really taking care of our children who's in our backyards? So I think we all need to collectively work towards a solution, and we have quite strong views on what we think would not necessarily solve all these problems, but actually ease the burden of working mothers and families mm-hmm. in Malaysia.
Ladies, thank you very much for joining me today.
No, thank you, Mira.
Thank you.
So that's mamaatwork.my. If you'd like more information, site will be up and running by the end of April. But if you'd like to contribute towards the initiative, do log on to indiegogo.com.
And search for the word Mama will be
one of the few.
One of the first, first ones that appear.
That's indiegogo.com. Anna Arafin and Nadia Noor, both founders of Mama at Work on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.